We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Another episode of Why Won't You Date Me? My guest today, you've seen her on The Good Place, you've seen her on Comedy Bang Bang, she wrote for Wet Hot American Summer, she currently writes for SNL. What a resume! Fran Gillespie! Boop, 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 doo, doo,
doo, doo, doo, doo. What a good theme song for me. Oh my God.
It changes every week.
Oh my God. I like that it's short and sweet. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it kind of, those bumpers kind of last a while, but just a doo doo doo
doo.
That's
doo 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 doo.
Yeah, that's kind of what I deserve. I'm liking
it's
that.
Nice, short, yeah. Catchy. People will be loving it. Franny G, I didn't know you were on The Good Place. I looked on your IMDb because I knew you're writing credits.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what are Franny G's acting credits? Did you have a scene with Ted Danson?
It was a big group scene. And I think I maybe have three lines. But it was very fun. It was great. Darcy, our dear friend.
Yes, Darcy Carden.
Was there, and it was freaking dope. It was like an easy couple days with the whole cast. Although, you know what? I wonder if you have this feeling, but you probably don't have this feeling anymore, but I feel more nervous for three lines than for 10,000.
Oh, absolutely. 10,000, like, especially if you have, like, five lines in a scene. If you fuck up one, you probably nailed four of them. And then if you have one line in a scene and you say it and they're like, hey, can we just go back to that one line? You're like, uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's, sure.
There's, like, nothing more humiliating than having nothing to, or, like, not a ton to do and then, like, not. But I also think it's just one of those things where it's, like, you're, like, amping up and it's, like, okay, the line before mine is this. And then I'm going to say my line here and then I'm done. And it's so much more nerve-wracking than,
so much,
like,
pressure.
A long monologue or like a big scene, I feel like it really is just way more like I sweat a lot more when that's going down.
Yeah, because it's like it's you're the only new person in this scene, especially like on The Good Place. So it's like I'm new. I need to prove that I'm funny. Yeah. I have one line. Okay, it's coming up. And the poodle. Actually, Fran, it's dog. Okay. And the French bulldog. And you're like, okay. Yeah, it's a real.
You have seven words to prove that you're also.
That you're funny and you deserve
you
to be here.
With Ted Danson. You got seven words to say. Why not?
I learned. This is like. A thing, it just makes more work for you. But I had an acting teacher who was like, memorize all of the other actors' lines. Like, memorize yours first, but memorize the entire scene.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's going on, it's in your bones and you know it. So when you respond, it's natural. It's, you already know it. So like, that's where the line fits. And I was like,
oh, that's good. But then as I've started working, I'm like, nah, that's a lot of work. I memorized my line. But then yeah. that pressure happens and you're like, no, oh, no, I'm bad. I have to go home. Nobody likes me.
It's so true. It's like you want to do like enough work, but mm-hmm. not too much. Come
no.
on. The days are short. And so you're kind of like, okay, I'll memorize the two lines before me. But then mm-hmm. when they start to come up, you're like,
uh-oh.
The fuck?
Uh-oh. Yeah, acting is very hard. And sometimes I'm like, is this what I want?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like what you want when you have it going on.
Yes.
But when you're outside of it and it's like you go into an audition or whatever and they're like, and did you read the script? So you know that you're, uh-huh. You're a wedding planner uh-huh. who's actually unlucky in love. And you're like, okay, I read my sides uh-huh, and uh-huh. I guess I get that.
I always just say now, oh, I wasn't sent the whole script. Because wow. it's a thing that happens, but a lot of times I'm lying.
Yes.
Because sometimes, like, if someone's like, okay, there's literally three lines in this script for right. you, I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Right. I know. If it's like, the lines are like, they'll see you now, Mr. Thompson. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, and also for reference, here's the 200-page script.
Yeah, and it's like, goody. Yay. Because I have nothing else to do. Acting is super hard. You work on a very hard show. We don't have to go into super detail, uh-huh. but SNL. What a mega fucking show to be on.
A hard show. You know, I think that shows are different for and hard in different ways for like a myriad of reasons. But I think people know the ways SNL is hard, and mm-hmm. it's like so tangible to talk about how like the schedule is really demanding and like you miss a few nights of sleep. Mm-hmm. I think that's like an easy thing for people to grasp, to be like, that would be hard for me to not yeah. sleep a few nights. But I feel like there are other shows that are also insanely hard mm-hmm. in different ways, like, you know, long hours and like wanting to get the perfect line. I mean, for me now, I would think a difficulty would be like working on a show where it's like, and the thing we're writing now, we'll see in 2 years. Like, that would be yeah. hard for me.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, okay, I'm staying here late. I acknowledge mm-hmm. that I'm like, now, you know, my life is working on this sitcom or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I'm staying late. I'm missing out on time with my family. I don't do anything besides work. But it would be harder for me to be like, dope, I'm staying till 11 or midnight because this thing will be on the air in 1 year.
Yeah, that's, I think people don't realize that about television. Like, sometimes things are delayed so fucking long. And you're like, oh, I shot that, you know, like a year ago. Or I shot, like, nailed it. We shot before it aired, like a full year before it actually aired. So, like, it felt so far away, and then doing press for it, I was like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, that is how I feel about
it. It was forever ago.
Like, shows that aren't SNL, because SNL is, like, I mean, and this is why I think what makes it hard is, like, it has to happen this week, and it's mm-hmm. happening now. But every week, you start over, and it's, like, mm-hmm. whatever happened last week, good or bad, it doesn't matter anymore because it's a new week. Mm-hmm. And new things are going on, and there's a new host, and it doesn't matter what happened last week. But I feel like I would also struggle with the thing that you're talking about, which is, like, yeah, I broke my fucking back
uh-huh.
1 year ago. But, like, if someone's going to ask me, like, you know, what was a goofy moment filming Nailed It? You're like, I don't know.
No idea. I don't know. But I will say the instant gratification of having a live show every week is so nice.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of being on a dating app. Have you ever been on a dating app?
No.
You are so lucky.
I haven't been on a dating app, but I'm like very interested and have many friends that it is like the make or break. Although, mm-hmm. you know what? I've had friends that found love on MySpace.
Really?
I went to two MySpace weddings where it was like,
oh my
people
God.
Met on MySpace. But then I also know like so many people that are like met a person they dated for an extended period of time on Raya.
Ah, interesting. I cannot get it going on Raya.
Why?
I do not know. I mean, I maintain that the app is racist.
I have heard that.
The only black women I have seen on it are beautiful black women. The only black men I see in it are beautiful black men with abs for days. And then all, like, white people, yes, some of them are beautiful, but some of them are, like, gross. Like, I matched with this kind of gross-looking owner of this, like, store, and we talked for, like, a little bit, but then I was like, I don't want to go out with you. But luckily, he ghosted me, so that's fun.
Well, don't you think people are using apps to manipulate the way they look in their profile pictures?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot, like, okay, I can clock a fat lady like nobody's business. Like, I know when you're a fat person trying to masquerade as a thinner person, all of your angles are up or whatever, and I feel like you have to be honest. You have to let somebody know exactly what you look like. Like, I have, most of my pictures are flattering, but, like, I show my whole body. You know, because I don't want anyone to go on a date with me and be like, oh, wow, you're way bigger in person. Because, I mean, that doesn't feel great.
Would you mean, like, you would never want to meet up with someone and then see, like, them be like, oh, this is what you look like, and, like,
yes,
clock a disappointment?
Yes, to be upset. Like, to see someone disappointed in real time is really hard on your feelings and your heart. You know,
right,
like, your mother is just like, oh, come on. And you're like, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, my opinion is nobody should be able to, like, Photoshop themselves. Mm-hmm. And there has to be a way for the app to, like, especially Raya, like, there has to be a way for the app to not allow a Photoshop photo.
I don't even know if you could do that other than, like, just having it be a very long process of submitting your photos for someone to, like, look at.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then the process of getting on Raya is so... It took me 2 years to get on it.
No.
2 years.
Don't you just need someone to recommend you?
Yes and no. So you can submit. The first time I submitted, it was like, who do you know who's on the app? And I said, John Millheiser. Uh-huh. And they were like, not important enough. I should have just said, like, Schumer. I don't know. I should have just lied and said...
take a guess.
The most famous comedian
John
I
Mayer.
Knew. Yeah, John Mayer. He's my best fucking friend. I mean, and then Tinder is... Oh, my God. Tinder is, like, just like a garbage pit of people.
Tinder is more about just a, like, immediate hookup because someone's
yes.
near you.
Yes. I think Tinder is now the, like, fuck buddy place.
Right. But what would be the, like, what's the girl reaching out? Bumble.
Bumble is shitty. Bumble's not fun.
Bumble is girl reaching out to guy.
Yes.
And so the power is in the woman being like, I think you're cute.
Yes.
Okay. And how does that work?
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I feel like men will swipe yes on everybody just and then they get to weed out who messages them. But I've been giving people some really fun messages. I'm going to read some to you.
Okay. On what are we talking, Raya?
On Bumble.
Okay.
So on Friday, I sent to this man, Anthony. Okay. Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay. What would you do if you woke up and there was a giraffe at your window? He didn't respond.
Oh. Oh.
And then
giraffe.
It's funny, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I out of context, anyone you're talking, like, I don't trust anyone, mm-hmm. even people I know, even people I live with.
Mm-hmm.
So I would feel like so, like, first sign of weirdness, I gotta take a step back. And even though that is funny, it would be like, okay, well, wait, what's happening here? Is this a psychopath?
I never thought of it like that. I was just trying to be silly.
No, yes.
Here's another conversation I had with someone. Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you do if a penguin walked into your room right now? He said, first thing, we try to discover where he came from, because no doubt it'd be cold, and that's a major plus at the moment. Also, I'd probably try to get him some fish. What about you? I said, I would ask no questions. I'd keep it. I'd Google how to take care of it and raise it with my dogs, take him on walks, and teach him how to be a good boy. which I thought was funny. Uh-huh. But then he didn't say anything funny back. He was just like, good plan. What would you name him? I said, Bert or Earl. And then he said he would name his Chuck. And then we, that's it.
Ooh, it ended at Chuck?
It ended at Chuck.
Oh my God. I like about face at Chuck.
Right? I've just been sending people really silly first messages.
That's good.
Here's
that's
another
good.
One. From I sent this to Gary. Okay, would you rather turn into a hot dog every night or turn into a hot air balloon every day for 15 minutes at 11:45? He said balloon.
He said balloon?
Yeah, he said he wanted to turn into a balloon for 15 minutes. And I said, that's logical because you could get eaten as a hot dog. And he just said, well, I'm not too fond of them. I was like, all right, Gary.
Okay. So basically, it's like people just can't hang.
No. Here's another one. What's better, skipping or rolling down a hill? He said, falling down a hill with comedic flair trumps both for me. I don't know. Everyone's bad.
And so how are you going to pivot these into, like, we should fuck?
I don't know. I think my angle was, because I was up real late the other night, I was like, okay, Nicole, just make yourself seem really interesting, and someone will want to take you on a date. But none of these men want to take me on a date.
I think it might be hard to pivot from the, like, goofy banter to, like, you know, and send me a picture of your dick. Although, is that something people do on apps?
I don't think you can send pictures on apps. Oh. Oh, wait, maybe you can. On Bumble, you can. Here's another one I sent. Would you rather eat tinfoil every day for the rest of your life or turn into a potato every night for an hour? I thought they were all really funny and didn't get the responses that I wanted. If we're being real honest.
Yeah. Now, if you were in the reverse and a guy was like messaging you mm-hmm. and was like, would you rather be a bolt of lightning once or cereal that no one liked? Would you be like, yes, this is someone I'd like to fuck?
Yeah, I'd be like, what a treat. This man is whimsical and silly. And I think I'd be a bolt of lightning once because I don't want to be cereal.
Yeah,
because I don't get to turn back. Or do I get to turn back into me?
Yeah, I guess it's always turned back into you.
Okay, I think a bolt of lightning.
Yeah, but that only exists for seconds.
Yeah, but that'd be fun to be like, oh, I'm lightning.
It's more exciting than cereal. You're right, you're right.
Yeah, because then it's like, can I attack people I don't like?
Now, I feel like people should be jumping on this opportunity because isn't the alternative just being like, hey, like your picture?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
I saw that you... like to climb, me too. Been to Puerto Rico. I like that.
I love traveling. Seems like you like to travel.
Is that the alternative? Is that yes. the like, boring?
And I get a lot of, do I see you on TV? And someone commented, so I asked people to leave reviews or whatever, and I can't find it right now, but someone was like, seems mad that you have fans. And I'm like, I'm not mad that I have fans. I'm so grateful to have fans. I just don't need you to contact me on a dating app. I have so many ways for you to contact me in a non-love way. Like, I give out an email that I read. It's baconcansave@gmail.com. You can send me emails there, and I read them. You can DM me on Instagram. Sometimes I read those. You can tweet me on Twitter. I read those. But, like, if I'm on Tinder or Bumble or whatever, I'm not looking for someone who likes my work to say that and then never say anything else to me.
Oh, that's confusing.
It happens all the time. And then it just puts me in my head and I'm like, well, what did you want? And then I have to think too long about it.
That's definitely like a mix of work and pleasure.
Yes.
It's like, why are we talking about my work when it's yes. like a full...
All I'm trying to do is get my little clit licked.
Yeah. And you don't want to be thinking about like work and how you pay your bills.
No. I mean, and it's nice and it's flattering, but truly, yeah, like if I'm trying to like... Be like, hey, let's like meet up and fuck. I don't want you to be like, but I also really like want you to look at this cake disaster I made. I don't want it unless it's a cake sandwiching your dick. I don't want it. It's honestly all people ever want me to look at, which is very kind. Very kind that they like nailed it as much as they
right.
do. But it is very funny. And people are like, look at this one. Look at this one. And then people like me to look at nice ones. And I'm like, that's not the point of the show. You're just showing off at this point.
Yeah, I've seen you tweet that before when people are like, how do you think I did? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know you're a good baker.
You know this is perfect.
I'm actually a horrible cook and horrible, horrible baker because I'm lazy and won't measure and will kind of like half read directions.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to a point where like I don't care enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like a few Thanksgivings ago, I was in LA and we were doing like a Friendsgiving thing. And I was like, okay, I'll make brownies. My mother made this like brownie recipe. It'll be easy for me. But I think I mixed up sugar and flour.
Oh, no.
And then they were white and like basically as hard as a rock. And I like was like, you know, I made something and I need to leave in 20 minutes to go to our friend's house. And I was with my boyfriend, Neil, and he was like, you got to just throw that in the trash. And I was like, but I spent money and time. And he's like, we're not bringing that over. And I'm like, oh, maybe someone will like to try it. And it was like a full like, no, that's not happening.
That's so funny. I feel like Neil's so sweet and nice. You just go, throw that in the trash.
He's like, no, that's trash. He's like, that's trash food.
That's trash food. The garbage is hungry for those brownies.
But it's not the first time that's happened where I've like completely fucked something up and it's been like, but I can bring this, right? And it's like, no, that's bad. People don't want to look at that.
That's
and then
funny.
Even when I do thing, like when I like make something relatively well and it will be like a buffet style thing at a friend's house, I absolutely will clock that at the end of the night, no one has touched what I've made. But I think my like period in life where like some people became good cooks and like good bakers, it was like I was busy. Mm-hmm.
I was doing shows at a theater under a Gristini.
Yeah, like I guess I just, and I don't have that bone in my body. I have lived by myself or with like a roommate most of my life, and cooking is expensive, time consuming, and there is nothing sadder than like living alone and making like a chicken and then eating the chicken for 3 days. It's like I should meet, I want to do something social. But then again, I have that
chicken
in
I made
the fridge
3 days ago.
It's like not fun at all for me. I feel zero guilt. I don't feel a responsibility to be able to know how to cook or bake. I don't give a fuck about knowing that. And also, as someone that lives in New York, it's like I could get an amazing, like truly endlessly amazing dinners
just
for
like
$10.
Delicious things. Last night I baked, I had a hankering for cookies. So I looked up a recipe that was like a serving for two people. So I made these cookies and at the end when they were in the oven, I was like, oh, I forgot to put salt in them.
Yeah.
And then John was also making cookies, my roommate. And his boyfriend was over. So then we had a baking competition. And John clearly won. His cookies were very good. He followed all the directions. But then his boyfriend was like, Nicole, you win. I like a chewy cookie. And I was like, he's being so nice, but I really needed that.
Wait, a chewy cookie means that there's not salt in it?
No, I just underbake them. So then they're like a little chewy.
Oh.
But like the cookie was just sweet. And there was no juxtaposition, like saltiness to it. I don't know. It's fucking confusing. Baking sucks.
It really does.
It makes a fucking mess.
Yes, the cleanup. I'll get like a sleeve of cookie dough and then like pick at it for like a week. And then it's just like a half of cookie dough. And then I'm like, well, this is garbage now.
Yep.
It's like has freezer burn. And I'm like, well, I'm not making this now. This is completely.
This is trash food. Do you still have a place in LA?
No, I don't.
Ah.
Neil has a house and I stay there when I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I'm here like
the summer.
Yeah. But mostly in New York. Mm-hmm. And my apartment in New York is on the Lower East Side.
Ooh.
And I don't know if you have been there in a minute, but it is a hellscape of finance, people.
Really?
Yes. It's like a hellscape of like dudes coming out of like Credit Suisse in and then going to like Stanton Social.
Really?
It's like completely taken over. Well, during the day, it is a fucking no man's land. It's like a leather store that sells a hat. Huh. And then like, well, I live above two separate like sneaker stores mm-hmm. that will set up like a red rope and like 200 people will be in line.
Whoa.
Like a couple days a month. But then the other days of the month, I like peep inside and it's just like a dude looking at his laptop smoking weed and there's like a shirt on each wall. And I'm like, I have no idea.
This is a front for something.
It's definitely not making money. But then like, so during the day, the neighborhood is just like very weird specialty like hip stores. Mm-hmm. And then at night, it is like the stinkiest, especially now because it's the summer. It is like a, you can, it is like seeing the air. Like the air is like green.
Yeah,
it's like
I know what you mean.
When they're in a dangerous neighborhood uh-huh. in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and they like see like uh-huh. green smoke. That is what the Lower East Side looks like in the summer. And it's just like so many finance dudes there for like a, you know, internship or whatever. And it is a gnarly, but I do think that people go there to hook up. I think the Lower East Side is like a place where people go to like meet people, like your pianos.
But last time I was in New York, I had a couple friends who were like, we're going to go to the Lower East Side. We're going to find man. I was like, really? The Lower East Side? Okay. But also, I haven't been in New York in forever, so like, or like lived there in forever. So I have no idea. I didn't go to a specific location. I would just go to a bar and find somebody.
Yeah.
Like McManus, I could, which is one of my favorite little dives. I like spent my 20s in there.
Yeah.
I could always find someone to hook up with.
Yeah.
Always.
McManus definitely had some like flies that were always mm-hmm. like lingering around. And, but the Lower East Side is like, definitely people are there to meet people, but I knew it was a hellscape when I saw an abandoned City Bike just like left in front of my door. And City Bike is like a bike share program where it's like someone was just like, I don't fucking care.
I don't care.
It was like in the middle of the sidewalk and I was like, oh, there's like bad stuff that happens here. And also I like will hear a lot of domestic abuse. Like, I'll hear a lot of like, shut the fuck up, find your own way home.
Oh,
and, like,
no.
I'll like peep out my window. But it is, oh my God, Nicole. I was at my apartment or coming home from SNL mm-hmm. on St. Patrick's Day, which is the best day to be in New York.
Oh, I think that's the worst. But well, also funny. People get so drunk.
But it is the I completed the trifecta. The walk from the train to my apartment is 1.5 blocks. Mm-hmm. And in the 1.5 blocks, I completed the trifecta. By the way, I live up the street from a place called Pizza Beach.
Yeah, yes, Pizza Beach!
Yes, yes, yes. And what Pizza Beach has going on is a very Grecian feel to like... guaranteed on a Saturday or Sunday, you will just see like someone crouching outside crying on a phone. But like it's like a 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. and you're like, not enough has happened for you to be crying.
I love
today.
Grecian Beach. I love it.
Pizza Beach is definitely like, it is like the hub for like, and we're doing brunch this weekend. Mm. And it's just like you clock. Just
a sea of nice white ladies who are like, okay, listen, brunch is on. We're going to have like mimosas and like really go for it.
Yes. But on St. Patrick's Day, it was the trifecta of a barfer, a crier, and a breakup, which is it, which is the New York three.
Truly, it is. During Del Close, did you go to the Del Close Marathon?
No,
or were you here?
I
was like, it's the last one in New York. Oh, if you don't know what Del Close Marathon is, it's a 48 hour, I don't know, it's 3-day fucking improv marathon, and it's insane. And at 4:30 in the morning, you know, John Gabris will be, you know, pouring beer on himself, screaming.
Yes.
And at the new theater, there's this man just like fucking puking, like power puking. And it was 10 p.m.
Wait, in the seats?
No, no, outside the theater.
Oh.
And I was like, New York goes so much harder than any other city. It's 10 p.m. It's you. You're like, you're done. You got to go home.
Yeah.
Ugh. I've never seen more people puke than in New York City.
I got to confess that I did do I did a street puke two nights ago.
Did you really here?
Yes. In Los Angeles.
Yuck. Where were you?
I have a toxic relationship with Max Karaoke in Little Tokyo. And Nicole, it's not the first time it's happened. Huh. I like put hard alcohol in water bottles because mm-hmm. they don't sell alcohol and you're not supposed to
mm-hmm. bring it in.
You're not supposed to bring it in. Mm-hmm. And they have cracked down in a major way.
Oh.
They looked in my purse, like dug to the bottom of my purse, which I haven't seen
oh,
before.
Oh, wow.
And they're, I guess they were like busted. It's this great.
It's like in a mall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things to do in life is karaoke. And in New York, it's so easy because I live across the street from a karaoke place.
Oh.
And one of my best friends in New York lives up the street from a karaoke place. And if we're like making a night of it, capital letters, mm-hmm. we're like, and we end with karaoke. We can get a room. It's fun. They always have good songs to choose from. And in Los Angeles, it is like, you need to plan it the
yes.
fuck out.
You need to like book a room.
You need to put your credit card
yes.
down days earlier. Uh-huh. And it's so like, and that's why I think I get so fucked up here, because I'm always the person that plans it and I always feel the like pressure, and it's always like, okay, how many people? And it's like, I hope for 10 people at 9 p.m. Don't know how long we'll go. Like, it's always so much pressure. I have to put my credit card down, and then you feel like responsible for people having a good time. Also, the karaoke places here are in the middle of fucking
uh-huh.
nowhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this one's literally in a random mall.
It's in a mall.
Like a dilapidated mall that looks like it's closing.
Three places are closed, and the other ones sell, like, buns. Like, the other ones, it's also, there's like a beard papa, and mm-hmm. then there's like a like store that sells barrettes with like too much doodads on them. Like, it's like in a mall where you're like, how is this
still in business? How is this open?
Yes, but many times.
So how long did you spend there?
I'll spend three. I'll book the room for like 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
but in classic LA fashion, no one really comes till like the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to make sure you're like, at least go with one other person,
mm-hmm.
so you're
then
not,
you're not
like
sitting there alone.
Well, so that someone doesn't discover you alone in the karaoke room. Like, hey guys, get there at 9, and then like the first person comes at 10:30, and you're like sitting in the
Hi.
Karaoke room.
Yeah, it's just me.
Also paying for it, by the way. And so I feel like I get like nervous about planning these karaoke things, and so I'll have like a two water bottles of tequila,
mm-hmm.
and then like two water bottles of like Maker's Mark and Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it's like, these are waters and Coke, you dumbass. How dare you question me? You're stupid. Like,
and then you stumble out and they're like, some Coke. Where did you power puke? Like outside this mall?
So now this is not the first time this has happened, where I'll drink a ton and then I will feel myself fading
mm-hmm.
when, like, I'll put a song in and I'm like, sorry, angel. And then I'll, like, feel myself and I'm like, I'm done. Which
mm-hmm.
is some, which is the, like, wherewithal I didn't have in my 20s that I got in my 30s,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, you want that, you want the revelation to be like, I drink too much, but my revelation
mm-hmm.
was like, I know when to leave.
Yes.
And that makes me fine.
Yes. That's how I am. Because I'm like, sure, some days I drink too much, but I always make it home and I always leave before I puke there.
Yeah, like in my 20s, it was like nights would end with me like, and you don't even really know me. And then like barf on my shirt
uh-huh.
and then like blood, like barfing at the bar, you know, like popping blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, well, I have it under control because I leave before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the thing of like, I'm tired, I'm going to head out, which is what I said on Friday. Left alone by myself. I was like, and thank you for coming, I'm tired. I had the room booked till 1, and at like midnight, it was like, okay, I'm actually tired, so I'm going to head out. Bye. And then I threw up at the karaoke place and then got in a lift and went home. And when I got out of the lift, threw up on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
But in LA, it like doesn't matter if you live in a neighborhood because it's like no one sees me.
Nope.
No one's out.
No one's on the street.
I'm doing this into like a rose bush.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, okay, fine. Like no one's the wiser. But then I put on the shoes I was wearing yesterday. I went to do a show last night, and I was like, okay, my lift's coming in 1 minute. And I, like, slip on my white shoes, and I see my brown barf on them.
Ugh, gross, 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 gross!
And I was like, it was, like, just at the point where I had convinced myself I didn't have a problem.
I'm okay.
And then
I'm
like,
fine.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, there's just vomit on my shoes.
It's once in a while. And you know what? I work hard. I play hard.
There
and
you
that's
go.
My life philosophy. I slip my shoes on, barf on them. I was like, well, I don't have time to change into a different pair of shoes.
Did you wear barfy shoes to your show?
Yeah.
I love who you are.
But I didn't tell anyone until right now. But I like definitely was on stage clocking it like, there's barf splatter. I mean, there's like no denying what it is.
Ugh, I love who you are. What a treat.
And I was just like, okay, I don't know. Like, I truly believe you work hard, you play hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there is never, never a time where I'm like, I have something to do. But you know what I'd rather do? Chug Maker's Mark.
Yeah, you're right. Like, if I have to work, I work. And if I'm drinking, I'll drink.
Like, if I don't have anything going on the next day, or I'm like, I worked the entire week, and this is my night out.
I'm going to have a fucking night out.
Then I have
although
a night out.
Planes are a nice place. I don't like to get work done on planes just because, like, I don't feel creative, but I drink. I drink a lot on planes.
I can't drink on planes.
Ooh, I love it.
I know people that love it.
I just learned that, like, I think the altitude makes me not feel it because I drank 8 cups of vodka. And
cups?
Then, yeah. So I was drinking doubles. And then the flight attendants liked me, so they were bringing me cups, which I think are 3 of the little airplane bottles. So I drank 8 of those.
Fuck.
And then I drank 3 cups of champagne, and then truly watched Forrest Gump 3 inches from the monitor.
Uh-huh.
And then got on the lift, passed out. The lady was like, are you okay? Because I think I was just breathing not normally. Like, just like, and then I, like, got home, laid down, was like, woo, I guess I'm drunker than I thought. Woke up and was like, no, I gotta puke. And then threw up and was like, oh, that hasn't happened in a very long time. I also popped a blood vessel in my eye. And it was just not great.
Oh, my God. When I said popped a blood vessel, I didn't even clock that that was something happening.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't think that I was, like, thinking of a specific, looking at Nicole. You know what I
no,
mean?
No, it went away, but
oh, I can't tell at all.
Thank you. Franny G, we got to take a break.
Please.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
And we're back! What a fun little break that was. Oh, we got so much done.
Oh.
Oh, what a dream. So you're in a relationship currently.
Yes.
I feel like you are usually in a relationship.
Well, God, how do I answer that? I have been in a relationship for a while, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I like the camaraderie of being in one.
Mm-hmm.
I like, but I guess it's like there's pluses and minuses to everything, but I definitely feel like I have relationships based on friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, this is a really good friend. And then, like, when it becomes a relationship, it's like, oh, or like when it becomes not just a friend, it's like, this is a really good friend. And also, like, there's romantic. I feel embarrassed. I'm like talking like this is like a G-rated show, but I'll talk G-rated. It just feels so, for me, it feels like, I don't know. I guess I feel like I am not candid about talking about sex personally.
Sure. A lot of people are not candid about it. My sister gets embarrassed constantly talking to me. 90% of our phone calls are her going, Nicole, why?
But I don't feel that's like, I don't care at all. I'm absolutely fine, happy. Like, I love discussing sex with other people and mm-hmm. what they want to share. But I feel like for me, especially in like a podcast situation,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I want to be like, I'm Fran, the person. And I also think it's complicated with women where
yes.
it's like a man can go on a podcast and discuss, like, I love Howard Stern. Men
mm-hmm.
go on and talk about, like, funny sex stories.
Yes.
And, like, all their, like, conquests and, like, the one that got away or, like, and then she didn't fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. And I think for sometimes when women talk about it, it's like, this is funny, but it's also making me feel horny and think about this person sexually.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
But it is like how people feel about strip clubs, where like men going to a strip club, it can feel funny. Like, haha, we're going to a strip club. Mm-hmm. We're also getting rock hard and fucking jerking off to what we saw at the strip club, whether there or when they get home. Mm-hmm. And for girls, it's like, I'm going to a strip club because it's straight up funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to see the Magic Mike show in Las Vegas.
How amazing was it?
Amazing.
Oh, it was also funny.
Amazing. But did I feel horny? I gotta say, no. It was hot dudes and it was incredible. Mm-hmm. But did I feel horny? No.
That's interesting. I never thought of that because I've now been to 4 male reviews and not once afterwards was I like, ooh, gotta rub one out.
Or like you're not going home and when you're like lying down in your bed, like I'm thinking about the guy that did the rain dance. Like at least I'm like, this is good and I appreciate the skill. And I'm not trying to pivot away from me talking about sex. I guess
fine.
I'm saying like men I think can come on and be like XYZ, this was a bad blowjob PDQ. Mm-hmm. And people will be like, yes, and that is still that man to me. Mm-hmm. And I think if women, like, if I was, like, detailing, like, a good blowjob, it would be like, okay, but now is that person sexy to me? And I guess I don't, like, I would rather just be, I don't think I'm running the risk of being sexy or making people horny, but I think I would rather just be like, Franny G, then like, did you hear Fran talk about how she got fucked in the back of the limousine?
Like, I think that's a really interesting point because I don't think men ever have to think about how they're being presented,
right,
in how somebody would objectify them sexually or how someone may not hire them because they're like, they're a little slutty and they run their mouth a little too much.
Right.
It's a really interesting point you bring up, and I personally have never thought about that because I guess that's what I decided that I was going to talk about, because fat black women are not sexualized. We're used as a punchline to a joke in Hollywood, and no one's ever like, you know who I fucking jerk off to? You know, I don't know. Like, I feel like Precious has been a punchline to a lot of jokes where it's like, well, she is a sexual person and she's a sexual being and she's beautiful.
And she probably gets hers.
She probably gets hers
all
the fucking time. But like, nobody thinks of us as sexual. So like,
I don't think that's true.
I do. I really, really do.
I mean, I think like, the idea of like, a beautiful, isn't that like a thing? Is BB?
It's a very, very small niche market, I feel like.
It's called BBW.
Big Beautiful Women. And then there's like BBBBW. I don't know what, like big fucking, I don't know. There's like even bigger. Oh, supersize. SBBW. Super, SSBBW. Supersize, beautiful. I don't know.
But I think, I mean, what do I know? But I think like a classically beautiful person is like a big black woman. And I think that that is what other people think too. But I don't
think so. Because then why am I single?
There's like so much like art dedicated to like big, beautiful black women too.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm talking about. And now I'm like, this is not anything. But I like, you know, I think that there probably isn't a voice to what you're speaking to, which is like, you own who you are.
Mm-hmm.
There is like nothing false about you. You also like, I feel like really are forthcoming with who you are. And it's so incredibly inspirational to people.
Oh, Franny G.
But I feel like people really, really look up to you in that aspect. And I feel like, for me, like, I wish I were more open. But at the same time, it's like, my personality. I can't change who I am. And the fact that I'm like tight-lipped about my personal life or, you know, sexual exploits or what have you is like, it's just who I am.
I like it. I wish I didn't feel the need to tell people all of my business all the time. So, like, as I get older, I've been learning to keep, like, some things private. Like, I have some tattoos that mean something to me, and people lately have been asking me about them. And I'm like, those are very personal to me. So I think that'll be, like, the one thing I don't tell people about. Like, friends know, like, what they mean and whatnot. But I was like, I guess I need to start keeping some things close to my heart, because if I don't, then, like, what is special? You know what I mean?
I also think you're, not to be disgusting, but like your brand is like, I am who I am and you can ask me anything and I'll be honest with my response. But if there's things you don't want to share with people, it's literally.
I just picked one arbitrary thing.
You.
Anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
You can know.
But you have power in the fact that you can say or not say whatever you want. And I also feel like, as a working woman in this industry, like, I don't really like anyone knowing shit about me that could be like, well, I heard she XYZ BDQ. And it's like, sure, I don't want anybody knowing anything because I don't want people to have that, like, power over me. Well, but it's because I'm secretive. You, it's not a power over you. If someone's like, Nicole, I heard you gave a blowjob to someone.
And it's like yes, yeah, I did.
Bitch.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yes, exactly. And I'll tell you about every other one. But for me, my like, I feel control over the information about me that is out there. And so if someone was like, whisper, whisper, like Fran gave like a dry hand job in seventh grade, I'd be like, no, I didn't.
I think that's powerful.
I mean,
to keep your private life private.
To each their own.
Truly.
I also don't give a shit what other people do. You share, you overshare, you don't say anything at all. But I also love to hear gossip. So like, if I'm
love
like
some gossip
at like a boozy brunch with a group of girls and like no one's farting out like any type of gossip, I'm like, well, someone has to talk
someone
about
someone has some- to tell me something. Yeah. Franny G, what do you think a good pickup line would be? Say I'm out at a bar and I'm trying to get this dude to fuck me. What is a good pickup line?
Have you guys been talking at all? Or it's like a walk up?
We've been talking. We ordered our drinks together. Had a little banter. Went to our separate friends. We got drinks at the same time. What would you say to like try to get that going?
Maybe I'd be like, settle a bet. Are you gay?
And then settle a bet. Are you gay? And then he goes, no.
And I'm like,
prove it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, truly, now what I would honestly do is be like, sorry, I'm nervous. But I like wish it was like, dude, do you suck or don't you? Like, I feel like I would want it to be like an aggressive thing or like, you know, this is, would be like a made up thing. But like, my roommate's out of town. Don't let me get the, I don't want the apartment to go to waste. That type of like, even saying that though, I just got like sweaty in my armpits. Because I think I would like practice saying it twice. And then when I went up and actually said it would be like, my roommate, have you ever an apartment?
It's like being in that scene where you have that one line. You practice it, practice it, practice it. Time comes, you're like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I mean, I probably would try and like clock something they were wearing and be like, do you like, if it was like a bet or if they were watching TV, probably try and clock something or like see what they were drinking and be like, I don't know. I think in my younger years, I would have been like a full like neg kind of girl, which I think I was like a full like, you're drinking beer? Yeah, right. Shots for me. Like, like, I think I would have been like,
yeah, right.
Because I have my whole vibe is like, I'm your younger sister who thinks she's cool but never has fit in. Like, hey guys, what are we watching? Lame. Like, but still, like, Mario Kart. Yeah, that's so 2 years ago. But doesn't know how to play and is bad.
You've been doing comedy for a long time.
Yeah.
When did you decide that you wanted to do comedy?
Well, I think, like, when was I able to say out loud I want to be a comedian? Like, maybe last year. But, like, I moved to New York, had zero friends. I was 18 years old. I joined my college improv group, and everybody was so, so into improv. And then I started doing UCB stuff and, like, met people I really got along with, and then was there six nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Starting when I was really, like, 19, I was, like, really mm-hmm. there almost every day, and then made friends and was on teams, and then – but I was still in college, and I think it wasn't until, like, I was about to graduate, and it was like, okay, what am I doing after college? And it was like, maybe pursuing a comedy career,
mm-hmm.
but then, like, not truly going for it. Not, like, I'm all in. How can I, like – make this work for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I just kind of want to keep doing what I'm doing and hopefully that will work out, which it doesn't. You need to like,
no, yeah, you gotta
do more every year.
Self-motivating. And I feel like you, 1 year, just like decided that you were gonna like do it.
Yeah.
And then things started really like happening for you.
I think it was just kind of like, I was too scared to admit like, why can't I need to ask for favors.
Mm-hmm.
I need to reach out to people.
Yeah.
I need to be proactive. And I think it was like many years of treading water where it was like, I love UCB and I love doing my shows and I love my friends. And it was like, but I hope one day like Steven Spielberg comes to Harold, Mike.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely was in that area for a few years, and then it was like, dude, I ain't getting younger, and
mm-hmm.
then it was like, it really was like asking people for help, asking people for favors, and the worst thing that can happen is you die. Well, the worst thing that can happen is like,
someone says no.
Or someone like talks shit behind your back. Like,
yeah.
Fran reached out to me, I don't even know that mm-hmm. bitch, and it's like, yeah, sure. People have said that. I don't
But then
care.
It's like, whatever. That's fine. Care. At least you fucking asked. I feel like people don't want to ask for help. And help is such a strong thing.
Well, I think people are, it feels like embarrassing.
Yeah.
And you're very vulnerable to be
yes.
like, I need help. But I was truly sick of being poor
mm-hmm.
and sick of being like, well, I have a full week because I have a couple shows and
mm-hmm.
I'll hang out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like years of that. And it was like, no, got to do more. Now it's just like every year I want to do more than I did the year before.
Yeah.
And that's the general
mm-hmm.
goal. But it was like, there was 1 year where it was like, this is not, like, I can't be doing the same exact thing I did last year and also the year before and also the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out to people, asked for a lot of help. And then also, like, did embarrassing things like, you know, I did things I wouldn't have considered doing the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even putting together, like, a basketball team is, mm-hmm. like, that was embarrassing. I was bad and was reaching out to people who were like, I don't really know you, and also, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but
then
but
it all
cool.
paid off.
I think that's cool to, like, try something new and do shit that you've never done before. When I moved to New York and started doing improv, you were one of the first shows I saw. You were with Law Firm.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember being like, ooh, that lady's so funny. She's so funny. I like her. She's very scrappy. And there was, like, I started doing UCB and improv at a time where it was two women per team.
Yes.
If there were three, wow, how crazy. That was, like, the women's team.
Yes.
So, like, I just, like, watched you and was like, she plays in a way where if someone negates what she just said, she will restate it firmer. To be like, you didn't understand what was happening. You didn't hear what I said. And I loved that. I was like, ooh, this girl literally is not taking shit from any of these dudes. And I loved it.
Well, now I kind of have a new technique, which I feel like embarrassed admitting, but it has been like that I did do that for a very long time. Like, I don't think you heard me because I'm initiating here, brother. But now I have a thing where, like, if I get negated, I truly will say, you're right. I'm stupid. Because, like, I feel, like, less scared. And you're great at doing this, by the way, of, like, letting the audience in on the process. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when I first was improvising, I was, like, such a purist where mm-hmm. it was like, and I'm in the scene now. And now I'm, like, 200,000 improv shows mm-hmm. later. It's, like, most of it's for the audience, but some of yeah. it is just for me.
Some of it's for me. I'm going to say this thing.
Come
you're going to hate it.
But now I, like, have a thing where if I am like fully negated, where it's like, you didn't tell me you were gonna be here, mom, you know, like, mm-hmm. or like, you know, you're in the cage and you aren't able to speak. And it's like, I'll just make direct eye contact with the person, mm-hmm. not the character.
No, yeah.
I'll look the person in their eyes and be like, you're right, I'm stupid. And I'll like, even if I was like, had a Southern accent or a British accent mm-hmm. before, it's like I drop all pretenses and is like, you're right, I'm stupid. Or like if I get insulted on stage, mm-hmm. I am not scared to be uh-huh. like, the audience didn't like that. And you know, people
I love it.
People will be like, what audience? It's just you and me here in study hall. Mm-hmm. I'm like, uh-huh. The audience doesn't like when you talk to a girl that way, just to let you know.
I
don't care anymore.
Love that. I love it so much. Because a lot of the times it's a man who's insulting you or calling you a bitch or like, oh, you'll see when you get home what I'm gonna do to you. And it's like, oh, really? Okay. The audience really felt that and didn't like it.
Yes.
And I like that and I admire that about you.
It is just one of those things where it's like, I also think now, I mean, I'm so exhausted.
Mm.
I'm like tired all the time, but like, I mean, yeah, like literally tired and don't get enough mm-hmm. hours of sleep, but also just like, what other abuse will I face on stage that will feel mm-hmm. exciting and new to me?
Yeah.
Like, throw it at me, dude, or girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But like, yeah, sure. Like, what am I doing now? Like, I'm a slut. I'm a mm-hmm. bitch. I'm like, have now been endowed as like an ugly stripper. Like, okay. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
And people
yes.
will like that.
I like it. I think it's a genius thing. And I think women need to see women be strong like that.
But I mean, I guess I'm saying I'm exhausted because my reaction is like, I don't think I'm reinventing the wheel. I'm literally just calling someone out.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was like a hair smarter and like a hair more like sharp that it was like my responses could be like, and I just owned you in a way you never even saw coming. But like my, I'm like too tired.
It's exhausting. Being a lady's very exhausting.
But also like if I get insulted on stage, I don't want to insult you back.
No, because you could make someone cry.
Yeah, and also it's like, does the audience want to see me pwn you? Like,
no.
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 Does the audience want to see us have like a dick
tiff?
Measuring contest?
Yeah.
Like, that's not propelling anywhere. That's just like not getting anybody further.
No.
And it doesn't feel nice to do it.
No. Stage etiquette's so interesting. Whenever people tell me about shit that happens in their, like, 101 classes, like, Mono Agapian was telling me that, like, he did a diversity workshop and some white girl said the N-word and everyone on stage was like, no, no, you can't, no. And I was drunk, so I didn't get the full story, but I got that little tidbit and I was like, I mean, the gall, the balls, the... Why would you ever?
That's fucking psycho. But also, why is a white person in a diversity?
Women are considered diverse in this world.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, at first I thought it maybe was because of sexuality. But...
No, I think she was just a white lady, and sometimes white women are counted for diversity things,
oh,
diversity points.
Oh my God. That's fucking wild.
Yeah. That's the world we live in.
I mean, I don't know what. I have taught 2 billion classes, and I feel like anytime anything was like inching on, like, first of all, nothing like that ever happened in a class I taught. But anytime anything was inching on, like, being mean to a woman, mm-hmm. it was like, okay, but you know, like, the audience isn't going to like if you do mm-hmm. that, right? And it would just be like, but it does make you feel hot, especially as, like, a teacher. Like, it makes me feel like, truly physically, like, I'm starting to sweat when I see yeah. that type of thing happening where I'm mm-hmm. like, oh no, I need to like stop this and look a grown man in his eyes and go, and be like, what are you doing? Why? You can't talk to someone like that.
Do you talk to your girlfriend like that? Your wife, your mother, your sister? Is that how you speak to women that you love?
But it's also funny because as a teacher, like, you can't have a, like, nasty little vibe that ices the room.
Ah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It can't be like, you know, have you ever been, like, out in a group of friends and you want to be like, excuse me, shut the fuck up. And mm-hmm. then, like ice chill mm-hmm. rolls over the, like, table. Mm-hmm. And then, like, no one knows how to restart the conversation.
That happened to me recently. I was with a friend. It was at her birthday party. Another friend came in very drunk, started screaming about a mutual friend that we have who wasn't there. And I was like, hey, man, you have to stop. You have to stop talking about this woman who's not fucking here. Conversation starts again. He goes in on her again. And I was like, hey, what the fuck is this? She can't defend herself because she's not here. Also, like, what are you talking about? He was like, oh, I didn't know you were such good friends with her. I was like, that's not the point. You can't shit on a person in front of a group of people when they're not here to defend themselves. Yeah. And then that person was like, oh, well, white men can have feelings too. And I was like, what are you talking about? Nobody's talking about. And I, like, went in on him because I was like, I don't understand where you're coming from. You sound stupid and you need to shut the fuck up. And then I felt that, like, coldness. Like, people didn't know what to say.
Oh, people are just, like, looking at their feet.
Yep. And he ended up throwing money down and was like, I really valued our friendship. And I was like, cool. Talk to me when you're sober. Talk to me when you're sober because this is some real bullshit. And then I, like, texted him and afterwards, and it wasn't about anything. She was drunk and spewing bullshit. And yeah, getting the conversation going again after that was so difficult. But I mean, people be crazy.
Have you ever intervened in a fight you've seen happening in the subway?
Oh, yeah.
That is the same feeling where it's like, it's like, hey, stop mm-hmm. yelling at her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've definitely seen, like, domestic disputes that yeah. were abusive happening on mm-hmm. the subway. And it's like, you know, you're like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. mm-hmm. subway rides, and it's like 20 other people in the car, and it's like, dude, yes, stop yelling at her. And then you, like, look around and people are just
looking at their feet and not and doing, like, a fucking thing.
And then they yell back at you uh-huh. and then you're like, okay. And it's just like, I mean, that is, like, I mean, even better less difficult situation because it's strangers on a subway car.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that way sometimes with friends where it's like, you can't talk like that.
You can't just say whatever the fuck is on your mind.
And then it, like, ices the mm-hmm. room. And then it's like, oh, Fran, relax. And it's like,
well, no, I won't relax. I just, this is just really making me angry and yeah. I'm just talking about it.
Yeah.
I saw a girl get punched in New York. Her boyfriend was screaming at her, and I was, like, about to cross the street to be like, hey, but then he, like, popped her real hard, and she went down, and then I, like, started to cross the street.
God.
Then her friend comes running out, and she was like, well, I mean, it is your fault. You shouldn't have said that to him. And I was like, oh, my God. But it was also kind of funny, because I was like, what did she say to him? What could she have possibly said to this man that made him hit her? It was wild. It was the wildest thing I'd ever seen. It was on West 4th.
Oh, yeah, West 4th, that shit's going to happen. Yeah. You're like papaya dog uh-huh. situation.
It was right across, papaya dog was here, they were here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's definitely a wild little block. I got in a fight on that block this year.
Oh, there you go.
On West 4th. It was, oh my God, it was daylight savings night.
Mm-hmm.
So It was spring ahead, and there was an SNL, and I was with. It was after the after party because mm-hmm. the after party like ended early because of daylight savings time, and I was with Kyle Mooney, one of my best friends, and his girlfriend Kate, and we were like, well, let's get another drink because it's daylight savings time, whatever. And he was wearing a Chargers jacket, like a starter jacket, like a Chargers jacket from like 15 years ago, you know, like Kyle Mooney style, like, you know. So we like went to get a drink and we passed these two guys and they're like, Chargers suck. And it was like, we were all drunk. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he turned around and was like, man, shut the fuck up. And they came at us. And it was like, you pussy ass wearing that. Why you want to tell? And it was like two white guys came up who were just like so fucking amped to fight us. Ugh. Who were like about to get physical.
Over a fucking jacket.
Because it was like, Chargers suck. And it was like, hey, don't say Chargers suck. And they were like, we're going to beat the shit out of you. We'll show you Chargers suck. It was like so wild. And it was on that West 4th. And then this guy came up behind that we didn't know. And he said to the two guys, hey, man, you know who this is? This is Kyle Mooney. He's the mayor of West 4th.
Okay, we have to go, but answer me this real
quick. Yes, please.
Why won't you date me? If you were in a position to date me, would you?
God, so many factors. I mean, I would be intimidated to date you, but I think that I still would.
Oh.
And then I think we would really complement each other. I think, like, you are so, well, my main thing about dating someone is fun. And I think you're fun. And I think we would have fun. And I would probably feel like intimidated at first because you so know who you are. And that can feel intimidating to people. But then I think I would get over that hump and we would just like have a ton of fun every day.
I agree. I think we would have a lot of fun together. It would just be Nicole and Franny G.
Yes!
Just swinging through life, drinking and puking.
Yes. I mean, we died 10 years earlier than we should.
But we'd have the
we'd have
most
a great
fun.
2 years.
Okay. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
for
here,
Fran. Thank you
for
having me.
Do you want to promote anything?
I want to promote you, and I want to tell you, like, you're just truly such an inspiration.
No, not me.
But you're also just like an absolutely unique star in the sky.
Oh,
and
Fran.
There's just nobody like you. And goddamn, that must feel good.
Thank you, Fran. Well, if you won't promote yourself, I'll promote you. SNL will be back in the fall. Fran writes for it. It's funny and great. And do you post the sketches that you write ever?
No, never. But we did just get nominated for 21 Emmys. I will
Congratulations.
Say that.
Fran is Emmy nominated and came to do my podcast, and it feels great. If you like Why Won't You Date Me, please subscribe. And if you feel compelled to leave a review, please leave something nasty. this man, Steve, S-T-E-H-V, Stev, he said, I want to yell in your butt. I've heard of a motorboat. Let me give you a motor butt.
That's good.
So I appreciated that. Thank you, Fran. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No, nothing. No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.